الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: قل كل متربص فتربصوا فستعلمون من أصحاب الصراط السوي من أصحاب الصراط السوي ومن اهتدى. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. We heard now in the kitab reading that Mawlana Thani Rahmatullah Ali said that we are not against worldly knowledge or that we don't discourage it. But that is that worldly knowledge which was in the time of Mawlana Thani Rahmatullah Ali. Long after that 100 years when we were small children, there was still moral instructions in school, etc. And today, with all the Darwin's theory and Big Bang theory and all LGBT, all these things, there is no question that it can be permissible. Without that, yes, then it's permissible. But also, as Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali himself wrote in his time, that if acquiring the necessary permissible dunya's education, and a person gets pride in him and he thinks he's more better than the ulama, etc., and he gives preference to dunya, then Maulana said, instead of that, let your child be a street sweeper, but let his iman be protected. Iman is the most important. This ayat kareema, which I've recited at the end of Surah Taha, just before this, two ayats Allah Ta'ala explains of the non-believers. One was they made an excuse and they said that we see signs clearly also, had they come to us, we should also have believed. Allah said, clear signs have come already. Why aren't you believing? The other excuse they used to make, that Allah says that if we had caused them to die before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and before the Quran, they should say, had we also had a kitab, we should also have brought iman. We should also have come right. But nobody came to us. So, and like this, many places in the Quran Sharif, Allah explains the excuses of the people who do not believe in Allah Ta'ala, who do not follow His commandments, all the excuses, and Allah gave the answers, various answers which are very necessary for us to know. And just like all the other places in the Quran, yeah, also, Allah has mentioned all this about the other people, the Jews, the Christians, the non-believers, and Allah put it in the Quran Sharif. But they're not going to read the Quran Sharif. We're going to read the Quran Sharif. So it is for us to take lesson. Firstly, that the mistakes they made, we don't make those mistakes. That is why Allah has put it in the Quran for us to take a lesson. Secondly, and which was really unimaginable, that we don't follow them in their wrong things, what they did. But today we see that is exactly what we are also doing. How the other ummahs went astray, by and large we are also going astray like that. Just like that, just like they have kept the name of the religion Christianity, and they believe completely opposite to Christianity. And if anyone today has to believe properly in Christianity, that he only worships one Allah, he believes in Isa alayhi salam as the messenger, the prophet of Allah, not as Allah himself, etc., they will declare a heretic. They will say he's out of the fold of Christianity. So this is to warn us that we must not think we are following Islam and we follow things opposite to it. And yet we call ourselves Muslims also. So like that Allah Ta'ala has warned us. So, yeah. So Allah says the people who don't believe, they make all these excuses. Like for example, we have the Jews. They also believe they on the right religion. And not only on the right religion, and very sadly, in England, Birmingham particularly, maybe some other places also, many Muslim children attend the Jewish private schools also. Maybe here in South Africa also. And this year, the State of Israel celebrated their 75th year anniversary. and the Muslim children also, all their thanksgiving to Allah, just like the Jews are doing, just like that. Some of them in Muslim dress. Dressing is like Muslim, but all their prayer is that of the Jews. And with this whole interfaith thing, which started with all false trimmings and adverts, like it is to help the people who are unemployed, to have the underprivileged. So we don't look at race, we don't look at religion, we don't look at country, for we are going to help all. That they came out with such. And many people got caught up with this. What's wrong in joining the interfaith? Because their motives are good motives, all the ulterior motives. But it wasn't long when clearly and categorically they stated the object is to establish the Jewish religion as the one religion of the world. One world, one religion. That is what they are dreaming about, which is of course impossible. It will never happen. So anyway, they believe that they are on the right. Similarly, the Christians believe that they are on the right. And they are so convinced of the wrong that they think is the right, that they have their evangelists, they have their missionary workers, and they go out of their way to convince and to convert people to Christianity. And in many wars before, where they had fought Muslim people, and they wanted to convert them to Christianity, all types of torture they placed in front of them, boiling hot oil which they prepared and warned them every day, this is what we are going to throw you in if you don't accept Christianity. And finally, one particular case where two brothers, they threw them in. And the third brother, the king said, one of the generals told the king that leave him to me, I will make him accept Islam. What will you grant me? So he promised him something very big of this dunya. So he took him, bismillah, and brought his daughter, very, very beautiful, and made her live with him. But this person, they every day rozas and every night ibadat. And the king asked, how long time do you need? He said, give me 40 days. 40 days, he did not submit at all. After 40 days, he asked for extension of time. The king gave him extension certain period. Still, he did not. Then she called out one night, and she said, I accept Islam, and I want to marry you. So he thought she's just luring him again. So he didn't pay any attention. After she said it a few times, then he said, if that is the case, make plans for us to escape from here. So she made plans, getting some animals to ride on, and they left there. This was in the Roman Empire. They left and they should travel by night, and at day they should hide away because they were pursued. They were being sought after. Finally, when they came one place, they heard the stamping of the stampede of horses. So they said, now we are caught. But when they came, it was that person's other two brothers who they threw in that oil pots. They had come. They had come from Akhirat. And they said that we have come, and our pain of entering that boiling oil was just to enter it. Immediately we entered, Allah opened the doors of Jannat for us. And we were entered into Jannat and all the ni'mats of Jannat. From this and many other instances we hear, all this torture and death is just for a slight moment, not even a full moment. And then into Jannat immediately. They said, we have come here to make your nikah now with this girl. So they performed the nikah and they said, we are returning now back to Jannat. And you people will come on your time. And then they went, they left properly as Muslims, etc. Anyway, what point I wanted to make, they are convinced of their Christianity. Until today they say, just believe in Jesus and he has died on the cross for your sins. So he has died for your sins, so you can carry on sinning. And somebody else will pay for all your sins. And you can do whatever sins as long as you believe in Jesus Christ. So that all wrong beliefs they have got, and they believe they are right. The Hindus believe they are right, and all worshipping idols, which they can't do anything. You place food in front of them, that idol doesn't eat it. The mice and the flies come and eat it, the idol can't stop them. The idol can't do anything, but they are convinced they are right. And they want to convert the Muslims of India into becoming Hindus. So everyone believes whatever he is doing, that he is doing the right thing. And then we find that, for example, further, the Shias, they believe that they are doing the right thing. And they are working so many places, and they try and convert the Sunnis to become Shias. And where they are the non-Muslims, like in our country, for example, in the local indigenous people they work, feeding them, etc. And then they want to make them Shias. So they are doing their thing, and they are convinced they are right. And they have debates also with our ulama to try and prove that they are right. Then we have the Qadianis. The Qadianis also believe that they are right. And they fight many court cases also. And they want to be recognized as Muslims also. And that they say they are the true Muslims. They are the correct Muslims. So they are also, then we have the Barelvis, for example. The Barelvis also are convinced that they are right. All the wrong things they are doing, they also believe they are doing right. Then there are those people who are following the true deen of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But they also feel that we have to live here for the dunya. We are Muslims, we accept we are Muslims, etc. But we give preference to dunya. From another angle also we should understand that if we look at deen with the eyes of dunya, you will never understand deen correctly. It is just like Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said, if you want to see all the far of distant things in the heavens, in the skies, the stars, their rotation, their movement, all that, then you can't use a microscope. If you want to see that, you must use a telescope by which you can see all that. And if you want to see the fine things, molecules, germs, etc., you can't use a telescope. There you'll have to use a microscope. Then you'll be able to see that. So like that, in order to see reality, we can't see it through the eyes of dunya. Dunya, for one, is short-lived. One, for dunya, the things are all of inferior quality. And the reality is that everyone has to die. So if it was for dunya that we have been created, then after building your empire, after achieving everything, how come you leave everything behind? And you go without anything whatsoever. So that can't be the object of life either. And if you look at dunya, short life, 60, 70 years. So if you're looking at how to live through the eyes of dunya, you are looking at it wrongly. So you can never come to the correct decision. And to look at dunya, you can't look at the eyes of dunya also. You have to look with the eyes of akhirat, with the eyes of deen, with the eyes of Allah Ta'ala. Then you'll see the whole picture. And you'll see akhirat is forever and ever. And you'll see whatever you prepare in this dunya, for akhirat it will be there. And you'll see that whatever wrong you do in dunya is going to be to your discredit. It's going to be there to your disadvantage. You are going to suffer the consequences. Illa man tab, except those people who make tawbah. Otherwise, this is going to cause you great problems. So there are people in this dunya who look at deen also with the eyes of dunya. That you must have deen in your life, you must do your deeny things also, practice also as a Muslim, but give preference to dunya. Your dunya, dunya's education comes first, dunya's lifestyle comes first, everything can, and for them to sacrifice anything of deen is not a small matter, is no matter. Deen doesn't mean anything to them, so you have to sacrifice your namaz because of anything, no problem. What is namaz? Na'uzubillah, that is not such an important thing. One young girl, a Chinese girl, parents are trying to send her to various who start to explain her to live an Islamic way of life. Young girl, 9 years old, but she's just not interested. She says, that today I ate from the school cafeteria, meat, haram meat. I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't feel anything wrong in it. And doesn't make any sense, because you're just looking at it from dunya's point. We haven't put in front of her that akhirat is going to be where the results are. So that is what we... And when they speak to her, indifferent, she doesn't pay any different intention. She's not interested at all. Now, of course, for that, one is dua that a person makes. And explain in a way that she will understand. So anyway, dunya's people feel that dunya is important. And we must do everything for the sake of dunya. And then in deen also, many people, have we got the correct understanding of deen? Today we see not only ordinary people, but even the scholars of Islam, how they have also changed. And they are on a complete different, not different level, opposite level. Everything what Islam taught, photography is haram. Now they declare it as halal. And in not only as halal, they feel you cannot propagate Islam without photography, that is, without the TV, without YouTube, etc. They feel that it is absolutely essential. And what arguments, for example, they will put forward, that if we don't go on TV, the Shias will go, the Barelvis will go. And the Barelvis and Shias are going from long. And they got the state of art, all their presentation. The presentation which they do is so wonderful, but we can't combat that. The answer to that is that if we don't go, they will go. So the answer to that is that there is some waste stool, the S word lying somewhere. And we say that if we are not going to eat it, they are going to eat it. So why must we go and eat the stool? Why must we be worried? Whoever wants to eat it, if they want to eat it, but that's not for us to eat. All the haram is not for us to go for. The haram, if they want to go in the haram, doesn't mean we have to rush and beat them into the haram. But this is how they bluff the people. What they say, that if you're on the TV, the whole world will accept Islam. And that is the way to get to the masses. If that was the way Christians are using the TV, by and large, is the world convinced, and have they accepted Christianity? The Qadianis are using TV, the Shias are using TV, the Barelvis are using TV, so the world has accepted their way of thinking. It's not at all, it's just a false illusion. It's got no reality. So all these people who are doing all these things, Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ, say to them, O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, كُلُّمْ مُتَرَبِّسٌ, all are waiting. All are making their claims and their arguments and everything. فَتَرَبَّسُوا, you also wait. All are waiting, you also wait. And فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ, very soon you will know. On the day of Qiyamah, مَنْ أَصْحَابُ الصِّرَاطِ السَّوِيِّ, who are the people of the straight path? وَمَنْ أَصْحَابُ الصِّرَاطِ السَّوِيِّ وَمَنِي وَمَنِ اهْتَدَى, and who are those who have got the hidayah? So that is what we have to see. And here also is an indication. Judge all your matters of dunya. Don't use a dunya's yardstick measurement. Use the yardstick of akhirat. Well, this matter what I want to do, as far as my akhirat is concerned, is it permissible or not? Is it good or not? Don't look at it from the dunya's eyes. That is in fact a mu'min. In all his matters, he will have the eyes of akhirat. For example, any matter comes privately in my own life, in my own home, or in our business, in the madrasa, in the work of tabligh and da'wat. All issues keep on coming. Now, when they come, how must we look at those problems? COVID came. And when COVID came, how should we have looked at it? Many people made that what the dunya's people, what they are doing. So we also join the dunya's people, which are the kuffar by and large. They are ruling the world. So many, unfortunately, scholars of Islam also went on that. And the protocols which the United World Health Organization made, they also enforced the same protocols. And how many went beyond that? And before the government could close the masjid, Not only they closed the masjid, but they were proud. And they announced, we closed the masjid 5 days before the government. So that is looking at it from dunya's point of view. What does Allah Ta'ala say in that matter? Did we check up? Did Allah say when pandemics come, close your masjid? Anywhere that, or any indication to that, if we don't find it directly in the Quran Sharif, we look in the hadith. In the time of the Sahaba, there were also pandemics. And large number of Sahaba died in the pandemic. But what did they do? They went deeper into the masjid and they made i'tikaf in the masjid. And we closed the masjid. So in every matter, we must see, look at it with the eyes of akhirat and the eyes of deen. So any mashura, anything to do, don't do what I think is right. Don't do what the people, don't see what the other people, what their results were. See what is the command of Allah. And in there, now we wonder what will be the repercussions. If we do this, what will be the backlash? For us, for a mu'min, he doesn't look at the backlash and repercussion. It's Allah's command and I have to fulfill the command of Allah. When the river Nile, in the time of the non-believers, they used to sacrifice a young girl, most beautiful girl, laden with jewelry and with her most beautiful dress. And they used to believe that if we don't sacrifice her for the river Nile, then the Nile will not come with its more water and irrigate our lands. Then when the Muslims, Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he saw this, he wrote a letter to Hazrat Umar, who was the Khalifa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu at that time. Hazrat Umar did not see what people say and anything. He wrote a letter to the river Nile. Now who writes a letter to a river? And who tells a river writes a letter? And he addressed the river Nile that if you are flowing of your own accord and you will not irrigate our land, then we are not of need of you. And if you are flowing by the command of Allah, then flow. And when that letter was put into the river Nile, till today it is flowing. And before that, it was according to their belief. And this happens, Allah Ta'ala for a test makes it. Till they should not put a girl in there with all the most beautiful girl, with all her jewelry, the river wouldn't flow. But after Hazrat Umar's radiallahu anhu's letter went, till today it is flowing without all that irreligiousness and all. So we have to see things according to the command of Allah. We must not see things in the eyes of the people, in the eyes of what the people of the world do, what they think. We must look at the book of Allah. And that is a mu'min. And the Quran Sharif is such a kitab. The more we read it, the more we will find it's speaking to us. And the more we will find it's scanning us and taking our x-ray. And it will tell us our diseases as they are. Though we'll see clearly those who have understanding of Quran and read with even little bit of tadabbur, which is very important, we will get our answers. But if we are reading sincerely, even if we don't know Arabic, one of the miracles of the Quran Sharif is, it will come in your heart. It won't be so that you can explain somebody else, but you will know, which was the case of many of our old people who are not alims, ordinary people, but their whole life was Quran Sharif. Because they used to read so much Quran Sharif, so their whole life was Quran Sharif. And they should have takkar. Arguments, even with ulama. Ulama had different view, they were strong on their views. And they did not accept even what the ulama said. It was by the barakat of the Quran Sharif which they had. And even if we are alims, but we are not reading Quran Sharif, and we don't follow the Quran Sharif. Quran Sharif is there just for us as a holy book. And holy in inverted commas. That it is all there for us. It is a book of barakat. And how many of us, even if we are scholars of deen, Ramzan, we don't make our one khatam also. How many don't even touch the Quran Sharif? During the course of the year, the Quran Sharif is put far away. We can be reading Harry Potter, and we can be reading Shakespeare, and we can be reading all other things. But to read Quran Sharif, unfortunately, far from us. So we all have to see, we are passing our life in this world, and the result will come out on the day of Qiyamah. And also, all the other people, whatever they have got, they are on falsehood. We have got that deen, that there is no question of falsehood. When we were studying in Dioban, it was common amongst the students, and sometimes the ustads also should mention it, that there was a student who was very weak. He wasn't in a position to be passed also, but he was a pious person, good person. So they said he will do some work of deen, give him also a certificate. So he said that, I don't know anything, he told us ustads. So people will ask me masalas, and I don't know anything, what must I do? So they said, you just tell them, whoever asks you, that usme bhi ikhtilaf hai. There is ikhtilaf in there also. There is difference of opinion. There are two opinions on this matter. By that, they will think you are a very learned person, that you know the whole issue, and not only the one side, you know it from all sides. And you know the proofs and the of all the sides, the answers to the proofs and the questions on those answers and the answers to those questions, all that you know. So they will think you're a very, very learned person. So somebody asked him about Tawheed, oneness of Allah. So he said, there also is ikhtilaf. So in matter of oneness of Allah, there is no ikhtilaf whatsoever. If the Christians make the ikhtilaf, it's not recognized. It's not regarded as an ikhtilaf. If the Hindus believe in so many gods, it's not that, well, that's their opinion, and they're entitled, and we agree to disagree. That's a new thing now. We agree to disagree. That you believe your way, we believe our way. There is nothing like that. It's totally wrong. So that is no ikhtilaf. And any person who entertains any thought that there are any other gods, his own iman is gone. The same way with Risalat, the Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To explain that in short, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says, if anyone claims that he's a Nabi of Allah, and you just have to ask him, what's your proof? You lose your iman immediately. Because your iman on the finality of Nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must be such that it is not subjective. It is finished. It's the end of the story. There is no question. Anyone who, if he claims Qadiani, or anyone who claims, he is out of the fold of Islam. There is no question that there is a possibility. Let me see your proofs, what you have got, and according to that I will decide. There is absolutely no question of any proof. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is the final and last Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. And so many other things also in our deen, which are clear cut. Then as far as masail are concerned, there are differences of views which are entertained. The whole Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat entertains all the differences of between Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahumullah. Those are legitimate. Whether in namaz, every posture, we pick up our hands or not, whether we say Imam Ameen loudly or not, those are no problem, we entertain. But the other issues which are not negotiable, which are not entertainable, there is no question about them. So we have to realize, and we have to see all matters according to Akhirat. A Muslim must not see his matters. That, for example, here we can take, we want to buy a house, buy it with, through the bank, and we take a loan from the bank. As far as deen is concerned, what does deen say? Yeah, all our logic and explanation that in so many years we'll pay it off and then it's ours, we don't have to pay rent anymore or anything. No, we have to see every matter according to deen, with the eyes of Akhirat, with the eyes of the Quran Sharif, the eyes of Allah Ta'ala, which are the eyes of the Quran Sharif, the eyes of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All our matters have to be seen through that. We can't end as what is Akhirat, that there will be azab there, there will be reward there, and we look at it as with the eyes of dunya. People who have seen it like that, what they came up with, all those things are like a dream only. That there is no reality, whereas the opposite is the reality. This world is a dream, And most of us, we take this world as reality. The world is a dream. And the most uncertain thing in life is life. That at this moment, any person can pass away. One lady, young lady, healthy, everything. Father-in-law is very ill. This happens all the time. That the news came, phones rang, must be news that now the father-in-law passed. He was very ill. He was like on the dying bed. When they got the news, the daughter-in-law has passed away. No, it's a mistake. It can't be. It's not. It's the father-in-law has passed. The father-in-law. No, it's the daughter-in-law. This happens all the time. Who we expect to have died, that person is still living. And who you least expected, who was making khidmat, that person dies. So life is most uncertain. And for to hear, a beautiful Arabic saying goes, if you hear somebody is still living, you must be surprised. And if you hear that somebody has died, even though that person was hale and healthy, and you say, I just spoke to him now on the phone. I just met him, I just left his house now. He was laughing, joking, talking, nothing wrong. It's impossible, it can't be. You must be mistaken. No, he passed away just now. Nothing, and this happens, anything. It can be just that you died, it happens also. Or you just left and crooks came and they fired one shot. Or anything else, he fell, he slipped. And he felt so bad, he died in death. This happens all the time. So if you hear somebody still living, you must be surprised. And if you hear somebody has died, it's natural. Because as we are sitting here now, it is only the fadl of Allah. In spite of all our gunas and our disobedience and our na shukri and na qadri and na ahliyat, we are not fit for anything. We commit so many gunas. Everyone in his own, his individual self, that the blood in his body is still flowing without any hindrance. There are no roadblocks. There are no accidents on the way. The blood is just flowing, and at what a speed the blood is flowing through the whole body. If there has to be one hindrance, one clot, and there you get hemorrhage, there you are paralyzed, now you got a stroke immediately. But see how many, there are people who are getting strokes, who are getting hemorrhage, all that is happening. But by and large, the people in the world are carrying on. And this is happening in everyone, Muslim and non-Muslim, male and female, the learned and those who are not learned, young and old, everyone. And this blood, how it's flowing, and what a system of Allah. And anything, according to our, anything can go wrong any moment. Then our brains are functioning. Brains, one thing, a tumor in the brain. Now you are thinking opposite. All your thinking is gone upside down now. And you were the most cleverest, intelligent, giving the best views. Now you are doing everything upside down. Nobody can understand what you are doing now. One 91-year-old lady recently, they went in the morning, went and wake her up. They found that all the blankets and that were packed on one side of the room. And all the other, her clothing, all on the other side. And how we sleep with the head at the headboard and the legs down. She was sleeping along the headboard, opposite. All clothing, now how the brains are functioning, what is happening. It can happen to anyone, anytime. So we all have to be very, very, that we are still living, we must make shukr. And we are all going to return to Allah. And that must be what eyes we look at everything. Our benchmark cannot be this dunya and the things of dunya. A mu'min, that is called a person of iman. His benchmark is deen, Quran, Sharif, Hadith, the lives of the righteous and the pious, akhirat. That is how he must look at everything. It was not long when we were still young. It was common in our people that anyone wanted to buy something for their business and he wanted to take a loan from the bank, they would not allow it. They would say clearly that when you can afford it, you can buy it cash. You pay for it and it's yours. But going through the bank is out of the question. Today is the whole opposite. When Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali came in one of his journeys, Safar, Then he expressed that the Muslims of South Africa, they are, mashallah, living it up. So Allah has given them big, big houses and all the cars and everything. Maulana Abdul Haq Umarji, rahmatullah alayh, then explained to Hazrat that most of this is all the bank's money. It's not their own money. They have taken all loans from the bank and they are doing this. So the outward form of this, you must not be bluffed with that. When it is your own, then it is your own. When you have, you are doing it without the haram. So a person who lives, and also we must remember that the punishment doesn't come in this world. The punishment which is in this world is a very small punishment. That وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى. We will make them taste of the small punishment, دون العذاب الأكبر, not the big punishment. That will be in the Akhirat, and the small punishment is also Allah's mercy. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So that they could reverse and come out of their wrongs and come into their right. We usually think that, well, I'm living on haram money, but my life is carrying on. Nothing is happening to me. This place is not for the return. The results are in the Akhirat. A person who's writing his exam paper, 3 hours he's in the exam room, and he's writing and he's drawing pictures there, and aeroplanes and ships, and he's not answering any. He says, nothing happened. I'm not failing. This is not the time for you to be declared pass or fail. When the paper will go in the examiner's hands and he will mark it, then the results will come. So our worldly life is whatever we can do, we can do. Sometimes Allah gives small punishments in this world. ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ. All the corruption in the world is on account of what people have done. In أَحْسَنْتُمْ أَحْسَنْتُمْ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ وَإِنْ أَسَأْتُمْ فَلَهَا. If you do good, you do good for yourself in this dunya. And if you do wrong to yourself, you'll suffer the consequences in this dunya. And many other ayat also, that is just a taste of it, a small little taste in this. The real result will come out in Akhirat. And Akhirat will be first in the qabr, where a person will be all alone. Nobody will come to his assistance. He can't imagine of anyone helping him there. He can send no SMS, SOS, emergency call, and or paramedics he can get there, or ask for anyone to help. It will be he and his amal. All our wrong things will come in the form of snakes, or snakes of the Akhirat, scorpions, fire of Jahannam. That all, illa man tab. However, a person who makes tawbah, he will get saved from it. But otherwise, all that will be, and it will be with you, ila yawmi yub'asun, till the day of Qiyamah. You will be all alone, and you will have nobody to turn to for help. And it is very necessary for us that we all be very, very conscious that whatever we are doing, our ibadat, ulama who are doing deens, khidmat, etc., there mustn't be any thing for name and fame, for worldly gain. Our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shaykh Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, used to say that this is especially so important for the ulama who sacrifice their life for deen. Their morning and night is for deen. They are teaching in a Darul Uloom madrasa all the time. They are making imamat, they are giving bayans, writing kitabs. But if little bit of riya, name, fame came in there, that people must praise me, that I must get the favors of people, people must acknowledge me, all that is gone down the drain. And not only down the drain, but azab for such a person. So it is so important that we be conscious that what we are doing is with sincerity. If that comes out, we were not worried, and we just carried on, and then in the Akhirat it came out, you were not doing it with sincerity. That's a place of no return. You cannot correct it there. Yeah, you have to. There is such a matter. When Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to explain the hadith of sincerity, A few times he should try, but he should fall down unconscious. That I don't know me, whether my things will come out that it was with sincerity. When a person like Hazrat Abu Huraira was so worried, and we today, we are not worried. I'm a big sheikh, I'm a big maulana. I'm guaranteed Jannat. My things, I'm sincere. There is no question. And we don't think also that myself, am I doing it with sincerity? What if it comes out on the day of the Amad, it was not sincere? All of us, our namazes, we are making everything. And the same way with pride also. A little bit, a small bit of pride, it comes in the hadith. And a person will not be able to enter into Jannat. And pride is to think that I'm better than other people. And pride is the one type of pride, ujub, that I don't think I'm better than others. But others are all good people. I'm also a good person. That is also totally haram. And the guna of it is same, like that pride that you think that I'm better than other people. And how many of us, we are not perhaps conscious also, but we have got this, that I'm a good person. And it comes out in our talking. Somebody asks reference about somebody. You say, yeah, but you know how they are. They are like this. They got that habits. And in that is the insinuation that I'm all right. We are all right people. You know, you also, you're all right. We are, but those people, they're not all right. So one is to state the facts as they are. But if there's any little bit feeling that we are better than them, we are all right. We are the right people, they are the wrong people. That person won't be able to enter Jannat until though he's got Iman, he's got great deeds to his credit, he's got the reward to it also. But he'll have, if Allah doesn't forgive him, he will have to go to Jahannam to burn out that pride. Then only will he be fitting for Jannat. And how many of us are sitting with that? And another thing also very common that we have to be very worried about. How many of us are selling our deen for dunya? We are working for deen, but for the sake of dunya we are doing. Deen is our front, but actually we want our deen to, our dunya to flourish. Money must come in, fame, name must come in, people must respect, honor me, and for that we are using deen as a front. People love deen, people love Allah. So when you're doing all that, people respect you, love you. And it must not come out on the day of Qiyamah that you sold your deen for your dunya. That you are doing everything for your dunya's sake. So we all have to be very careful and very conscious. Otherwise, in the akhirat, it will be too late. In the qabr will be a place where we will be tested and we'll be given that punishment. On the day of Qiyamah will be humiliation. The punishment that all will be disgraced. In the qabr, we were all alone. Qiyamah day in front of everyone. All our private life will also come out. And all will see what we did in our private life. All will see what our intentions also were. And intention is such a thing that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained that should I not tell you of something which is more hidden, more a secret than a black ant walking on a black rock on a pitch black night, that nobody can see that ant walking, nobody can hear the sounds of it walking. More secretly than that, to do things for name and fame, riyakari, comes in the heart of a person. And also that he's not even aware of it. Allah reward Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Immediately asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Allah's Nabi, in that case all of us will be destroyed. That we did this for name, fame, people must say I'm a namazi, people must say I'm pious, people must say that he's a very righteous person, and whatever else it is. And we don't even know this came in us. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let me teach you a dua. If you read that dua, and we all should read that dua at least once a day. And if we read it morning and evenings twice, even better. And even more better. Allah, and simple dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lam. Wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. Let us read it together. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika an ushrika wa ana a'lam. Wa a'udhu bika an ushrika ولا أعلم. So short that dua, read it daily. So that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will be saved from all types of shirk, small and big, hidden and open, private and public, whatever kind of shirk and riyakari and name there is, name and fame, you will be saved from that. So we have been given our solution. Let us use those solutions. And also what all the other things, or selling our deen. And today we got a fake deen. We're doing things also in our namazas, our wuzu, our istinja not right, namazas are not right. That we are selling, that we are very pious. We're doing everything wrongly, and that we are claiming we are very pious. So fear, we have to fear Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And remember that all these things, it's not no judgment in this world. No one can make of anyone. Nobody can make of himself also. That I'm all right. قُلْ كُلُّمْ مُتَرَبِّسُونَ. All of you are waiting. Everyone. فَتَرَبَّسُوا. Wait. فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ أَصْحَابُ الصِّرَاطِ الصَّوِيِّ. Very soon you will know on the day of Qiyamah. There it will be seen who were the people of the straight path. وَمَنِ اهْتَدَى. And who were those people who were guided righteously. So when we run down somebody also, don't forget to check ourselves also. And we just find fault in other people, don't first find fault in ourselves. See what our own condition is. And we have to fear that Qiyamah's day, what will be our position. Yeah, we got a position to correct ourselves. There will be no chance whatsoever. Fortunate is that person that he corrects himself. And in all these matters, you have a sheikh to guide you, alhamdulillah. If not, there are thousands, millions of people who don't acknowledge a sheikh. They have no connection, they have no idea of a sheikh. Any and everyone makes sincere dua to Allah. Ya Allah, guide me. Allah will put in your heart the right things. Allah will tell you what the wrong things you are doing. Keep on making sincere dua. And the greatest of the dua is in namaz. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. And what a great thing. If we pay little attention just in our namaz, Allah will open the doors for us. He will show us where we are going wrong. He will show us how to correct it also. And where we must go for our guidance and hidayat. It is all in our namaz. And even those who are not making namaz, that they just turn to Allah. Ya Allah, show me the right path. Ya Allah, I want to be guided. Allah will definitely open the way and give them the road to guidance. A Jew, a Christian, any person. Sayyid Fakhruddin Rahmatullah Ali was a very pious person, very close to Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah, and he was very passionate of converting people to Islam. So he said, well, I don't make headway with them. I tell them to take a bath. And after that, pray to God. He said, this napaki on the body also prevents. And for some, he tells them what to eat for 3 days. Don't eat any other food. Eat this food. After that, hidayat comes to them. So these things block us. So we must remove these obstacles. Then we can be guided. Anyway, let us be conscious of ourselves before maut comes, life of qabr comes, the day of qiyamah, and then afterwards a final decision of Jannat and Jahannam. Now is the time. This time is very valuable that we prepare for that everlasting life of the Akhirat. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshaAllah.